Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today, we're back in Colossians, beginning chapter number 3. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4 today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3, follow along as I read verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "If ye then be risen with Christ." And the word "if" there, by the way, in the King James Version, could also be translated "since," which is probably a better translation in what he's trying to say. "Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." I want to begin with an introduction today from John Phillips regarding this paragraph. He writes, "Paul begins by pointing out to us the true mysteries, not the counterfeit mysteries or the satanic mysteries offered by the cult, but the true mysteries of a life hidden with Christ in God. He sets before us truth so mystical that we have to keep on reminding ourselves that it is also real and genuine and intensely practical. We may indeed be in Christ, but Paul does not forget for a moment that we are also at Colossae. Paul might have his head in the clouds, but his feet are very much on the ground. He might be dwelling in the heavenlies, but he was constantly reminded of the earthlies by the dismal rattling of his chain and the restless movements and perhaps exasperated curses of the soldier to whom he was chained." David Jeremiah said that the first two chapters of Colossians are filled with theological and doctrinal truths about Jesus Christ. Beginning in chapter 3, Paul draws out the implication of these truths for our daily lives. Out of doctrine comes duty. Out of biblical content comes godly character. There must be biblical content before there can be biblical conduct. Once again, the key to it all is Jesus Christ. What we learn today in these verses is that the believer is a new person. I don't know if you're one to mark up your Bible or not, but if you are, look at verses 1 through 4 again, and every time you see the word "with," W-I-T-H, underline it. For three times, that word is used. "If ye then be risen with Christ." In verse number 3, "For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then in verse number 4, "Then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Three times the word "with" is used. It's a preposition, and it refers to the believer's relationship with Christ. What we find in the first "with" deals with the past. "Since ye then be risen with Christ." This is past. This is for the believer at the very moment of your salvation, when you receive Jesus Christ into your life. This is the past that he's talking about. You were risen. You were identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We become a new person. And then the second "with" in verse number 3 deals with the present. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That verse is dealing with our present position in Christ. And then in verse number 4, "Then shall ye also appear with him in glory." That "with" deals with the future. So you have a very well made out outline with those three words "with." Well, let's look at verses 1, dealing with how our past has been changed. The Apostle Paul wrote that since ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And you skip to verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our past has been changed. Before we can be raised, we must first die. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, all of a sudden we are identified with Christ and what he did for us on the cross, how that he died for our sins. He was buried, because that's what you do with a dead person. And then he was resurrected for us as well. And so we're identified in his death, burial, and his resurrection. We are in him, and this is our past. And because of that, we are dead to our old way of living, and we are alive to our new way of living. Our past is no longer defines us. Our past is no longer our present. Things have changed. Why? Because Christ has come in to our life. At the time of our salvation, we're identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember in Colossians chapter 2, when we looked at verse 20, Paul had written, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances?" We looked at that at last lesson. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person I was before I became a Christian, before I became a believer. That person is dead. That person is dead. I'm no longer that person. God has changed my life. My past has been changed. Over in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, we're not going to take the time to read it all, but if you read that chapter down through verse number 13, it all deals with this subject. But let's just look at the first two verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he writes, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What's Paul talking about? He's talking to believers. He's saying, you have died with Christ. When Christ died for your sins, you were with him. The moment of salvation, you're identified with Christ's death for our sins. Our past has been forgiven. Then the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 2, and you might be familiar with this verse, but in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, you'll remember the Bible says, for I am crucified with Christ. I've died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My brethren, we reckon these things to be true, that when you receive Christ as your Savior, you have died to your old way of living. You have died to that sinful way of living, and it's been buried, and you've been resurrected with Christ to live a new God-pleasing life. Now, that doesn't mean we don't battle with sin, but it means that there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we allow the Word of God to dwell within us, we allow the Spirit of God to apply the Word of God in our lives, we are going to be pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because we're not who we used to be. We have died to that old life, and we are now, by the grace of God, living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We are identified with Christ in his resurrection. In Colossians chapter 2, when we were looking at verses 12 and 13, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, that you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, that means made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When a believer can finally come to the knowledge that he has died to his old way of living, that he's free from those addictions, free from those propensities to self-serve, one's own pride, one's own desires, and now put that all to death and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, one's life will change. when that is finally realized. I want to share an illustration here that Dr. Jeremiah wrote about. He said, Sharon Dutra's life was about as rough as it gets. She endured a miserable home life and was in and out of foster care. She was arrested again and again, addicted, married and divorced, living on the streets, looking for food in garbage cans. By age 29, she had been arrested 13 times. In a crowded women's prison, she read the story of George H. Meyer, who had been the chauffeur and getaway driver for Al Capone. Meyer wrote of finding Christ, and his testimony penetrated her heart. Suddenly, she said, I had remorse over my sin. I wept over what I had done to people and for my self-hatred. I asked God for forgiveness. As I prayed, I felt God's grace wash over me. When I got up off the floor, I was a brand new person. Dr. Jeremiah writes, that was more than 30 years ago, and Sharon is still living in newness of life. So are you if you have been risen with Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell you, friend, is that once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the past has been dealt with. The believer is a new person. Our past has been changed, and not only has our past been changed, but our present has been changed as well. We go back to Colossians now in chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Boy, there's so much involved in these three verses. But we notice here that our focus is above. Our focus is on Christ, that as we go through this sin-sick world, we're focusing on Him. And verse 3 says that we're hid with Christ in God. The phrase there, being hid with Christ in God, is a reference to the security of our salvation. I'm sure glad that my security, my salvation, is not based on me keeping some rules and some regulations. I'm glad that my salvation is not kept by me. It's kept in Christ. It's double locked by Christ and the Father. They are the security of our salvation. All of our salvation is taken care of by Christ. All we do is receive Him and accept Him as Savior. And He saves us. Our life is hid in Christ. My relationship with Him is secure. We truly get to experience the undeserved mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word hid refers to the eternal life we have in Christ, which is concealed in Christ, who is in the Father. This is best explained in the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. I invite you to turn there with me. This is important. In John chapter 10, I'll be looking at verses 27 through 29. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and He says, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. He's talking about believers here. We are His sheep. We hear His voice, and He knows us, and we follow Him. Look at verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. This is what is hid in Christ, our salvation. When you get saved and you become a sheep, and Jesus is your shepherd, we hear His voice. We follow Him. We serve Him. And He keeps us secure in Himself. We are placed in Christ's hand. And then His hand, as it were, was placed in the Father's hand. And there is no one no person, no circumstance, nothing you can do to pluck yourself out of Christ's hand, which is in the Father's hand. There's nothing that can separate us, the Bible says, from the love of Christ. Why? Because once he gives you eternal life, it's eternal. Or he wouldn't have given you eternal life. If he gave you, here's heaven, if you can keep a certain set of rules, that would depend upon me. Eternal life depends upon God. Here's the problem that I think a lot of people have. They have struggles in believing in eternal security. The problem is a lot of folks who think they're a Christian have never been saved. They've never received Jesus Christ as Savior. And later on, when you see that person fall away from God and you wonder, they lost their salvation. Well, truth of the matter is they probably were never saved. Now, only God knows the heart, and I'm not judging today, but I'm telling you, there's a real danger of people today who think they're saved that have never been truly saved. They've never received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because when you receive Christ, you receive eternal life. And we hear God's voice. And you become a child of God. And if you're out doing things that's not pleasing to God, he'll either take you home or he'll chastise you. He'll deal with you. He will not leave you alone. So I challenge you today to go to the Scriptures. Are you truly saved? Is the Spirit of God dwelling within you? There's an aspect of the believer's life that the world does not comprehend. And a lot of folks today that are truly not saved, they're religious. They'll be one of those that the Bible says, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. When a person becomes a believer in Christ, Paul says, and he teaches the Colossians as he's teaching us, the believer is a new person. Remember our three withs, W-I-T-H, in this portion of Scripture? Yes, our past has been changed. Our present has been changed. But then thirdly, our future has been changed. We find this in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The three withs, our past has been changed, our present has been changed, and brethren, our future has been changed. A great revelation is coming. I invite you to look with me in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Today we're hidden with Christ, but the day is coming when we will be revealed with Christ. Over in the book of 1 John, chapter number 3, verses 1 through 2, John wrote, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And he goes on in verse 2, and he says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I like what he said there in verse 2. Now are we the sons of God. I don't have to wait till I die to know if I'm a Christian. If I've accepted Christ as my Savior, he dwells within me. I'm a Christian today. But there's coming a day everybody's going to know that I'm a Christian because I'm going to be like Christ. Oh, I'll fail. Every day I fail in my life to live the way I ought to. But there's coming a day that I'm going to be like Christ totally pure and clean and be like Him. Lightfoot wrote that the veil which now shrouds your higher life from others will then be withdrawn. The world which now persecutes, despises, ignores now will then be blinded with the dazzling glory of the revelation. Oh, I long for that day. Do you long for that day? I'm sure that you do. Our last point today is that because we're a new person, because our past has been changed, because our present has been changed, because our future has been changed, we have new priorities in our life. And that's how Paul starts this chapter when he's talking about, since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Make Christ your priority. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment to believers. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Dr. Jeremiah said that when we set our heart on something, it motivates us. It changes us and energizes us. Those of you who have certain aspirations in your life, you maybe saw somebody as a child that motivated you to become a doctor or motivated you to become a certain professional, to pursue a certain academic or whatever. You were motivated. Well, as a Christian, Christians are motivated. God has changed us and He has energized us, and we want to be more like Christ. We're commanded to set our hearts and to set our minds on things above. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation or our way of life, our citizenship is what that word's referring to, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My citizenship isn't on this earth. My citizenship is literally in heaven. Vance Havner put it this way, Christians are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven, but citizens of heaven making their way through this world. My friend, we are commanded to set our affection, to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me ask you today, where are your affections? What do you wake up every morning with the desire to do? Is it to please God? Is it to accomplish something for His glory? Or is it simply self-centered? What can I do for myself today? There's a big difference, my friend. John Phillips put it this way, the psychologist says to all such, look within. The opportunist says, look around. The optimist says, look ahead. The pessimist says, look out. God says, look up. We are to set our affections on things above. We're to seek those things which are above. The cultist's advice was to look down, to pick up a new set of chains, to put on a new straitjacket, to bow down before a new guru tyrant. No! Look up! See Him! As J. Denham Smith put it more than 100 years ago, rise, my soul, behold, 'tis Jesus. Jesus fills thy wondering eyes. See Him now in glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise. We as believers need to set our affections, our minds, and our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through this life. I want to encourage you today. Thank the Lord for saving your soul, and thank Him for the victory to live a life that's pleasing and honoring unto Him. Paul's reminder to those believers in Colossians was, since you're risen with Christ, look above. The same can be told of us today if you're a believer in Christ. Live your life with Christ as the whole purpose and meaning for everything that you do, and He'll bless you for such a decision. God be the glory.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.